Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Student Loan Planner Podcast. Today, I'm your host, Sim Terwilliger, and I'm joined by Sam Silverstein.
Hello.
We're going to talk about everyone's favorite topic, which is this PSLF Mohela Mishegas. Sam, what the heck?
I know. It's like, I feel like every time, first of all, I come on here, I'm talking about Mohela and my feelings. But I think we actually can say some progress here on the transition of Mohela going from different platforms, but also how the PSLF pause looks like it's finally moving out of that and we're transitioning back into how it normally has been going through the processing of the forgiveness program.
I think something that's important to frame all of this before we talk about the problems is why this is happening and maybe some positive reframing is that this is in its own convoluted way intended to help borrowers, right? That's why they're making a lot of these changes, is to make improvements to PSLF and the processing. It doesn't feel that way because the whole process has been very clunky and bumpy, but that's why this is happening. So keep that in the back of your mind if you are the kind of person who likes some positive, you know, thing to grab onto.
Yeah, absolutely. And we can all easily say, who've been doing this a while, that the PSLF program since 2007 has been problematically flawed. We have seen, you know, small actionable change over the last couple of years to have it going in the right direction. And this is, of course, going to build on it. And I've said this to our clients, borrowers, that for people who are trying to get forgiveness right now, who have reached their magic 120 10-year payment for PSLF that qualifies for full tax-free forgiveness of their loan balance, that this is bad timing. I realize this sucks. There's lack of control. But for those PSLF borrowers who are in the middle of it, who are just starting, right? While right now it's a big old storm, it is going to make the program better. I genuinely believe that. And that this short-term feeling of chaos is going to be better for the next 4, 5, 6 years that you may have in the program.
So let's kind of just high level talk about what the changes are, which is, one, there's this Mohela transition, right? Mohela, and there's really two transitions when I say there's a Mohela transition. So part one is that Mohela decided in the midst of all of this to switch servicer platforms. So now you have a new like studentaid.gov Mohela login. That's one change with Mohela, right? The second one is that Mohela is no longer the official servicer of the PSLF program. And so what happened was, because Mohela was the servicer, right, they were servicing all of these loans, right, for a lot of borrowers, and not just for PSLF folks, but for non-PSLF folks, like my husband, his loans are with Mohela. And so now we're hearing from a lot of borrowers that they're being transitioned completely away from Mohela to Ed Financial, because Mohela's like, well, great, we're not servicing PSLF anymore, so we don't need to have all these borrowers, and we know that we're doing a crappy job.
Bye, girl. Because,
right? And you're gone, and you're gone. And so we've been getting a lot of questions from people who have been moved to Ed Financial, like, am I still good for PSLF? Yes, as long as you're meeting the other requirements. Mohela does not need to be your servicer anymore.
Yeah, so Mohela effectively basically became the biggest servicer. I don't know if they're bigger than Nelnet, but they were up there. And then Ed Financial is like this tiny baby in comparison to both of them. So you might see yourself way over there. And of course, that could be unsettling, but who knows? If you haven't had the best experiences with Mohela or getting through to their lines, Ed Financial, I can't say is going to be much better, but they definitely have a smaller borrower base right now to serve. So like Sim said, lots of transitionings happening. And on top of that, because it's been layered, so this has been, you know, the Mohela itself platform transition has been happening for the last couple of months. The PSLF administration transition has been happening since May. And so borrowers are not necessarily, I want to make it clear, build on what Sim said, loans are not moving to like student aid necessarily as you see it as the Department of Education. Typically, servicers are going to still handle and support you with your loans in regards to payments, understanding what's options that are available for you, getting into repayments. But the administration effectively of submitting for PSLF, reviewing for PSLF, tracking your payment counts are all moving to studentaid.gov, or actually have successfully moved to studentaid.gov. We're still, of course, going to be seeing efforts trickle in. But as of yesterday, perfect timing for this pod, the student aid website for PSLF submittance is back up and live. So if you're one that has been visiting studentaid.gov/PSLF every day for the last 2.5 months, you can go today and you'll be able to submit.
And so with that, I know that we have a lot of people who are just very diligently tracking all of their payments, making sure everything is getting counted. So is there a way to track that now?
Yeah. So previously, because there was always just a solo servicer named as kind of like the PSLF handler on behalf of the Department of Education, Mohela most recently, that is where you used to see your payment tracker. You would go into a very special PSLF part of the website. That is moved over to student aid. It shouldn't be showing up on Mohela. So previously you could see parts of your PSLF counts on student aid. Were they always up to date and accurate? that's questionable in a different pod. But now there's actually reporting that there's going to be different payment tracker or way to track it on the student aid website under the My Aid part of the website, looking kind of where it says PSLF/TEP/SLF. So you should see it a little bit lower. We are getting reports that people are seeing counts, not necessarily always accurate. People are reporting accuracy, but some people are saying, hey, there's some delays here. And then, of course, as always, with these kind of layer transitions, we are still hearing reports that people are seeing zero. But like most things with student loans, time, right? Patience. We're hopefully going to, you'll see updates there. But if you're in the PSLF program and you're not one who's routinely checked student aid website because you are just really gone to your servicer like Mohila and been able to review, I would encourage you to try to get access to student aid or be more comfortable getting on student aid to see if any adjustments have been made for you.
I feel like the moral of the story for everything student loans is be vigilant, but don't fret.
Exactly. I am, believe it or not, optimistic. And I do like to use the phrase a lot, things get better with time. And I think we can see that with student loans in their own way. Yes, we're in a very chaotic time, but I think we are progressively seeing it is getting better. All this chaos is happening because things are trying to get better.
That's the positive reframing. So just keep thinking that, reminding yourself of that. So because of this transition, a lot of you guys have experienced, you know, that you were not able to submit anything for PSLF for May and June. We are seeing now, Sam, you were reporting that up to April for a lot of folks is being approved. And for some people, the months of May and June are now switching to in review.
Yeah, in those reports. And it's effectively because when this transition first started in May, as it was reported for the PSLF administration, we're still saying like people, yeah, you can go ahead, you can go to the student aid website, you can still submit, but nothing is actually going to be physically processed until sometime in July, or at least start till sometime in July. So, of course, borrowers have been submitting across that. There was a little bit towards the end, I think more of like a note from student aid saying, hey, we're not going to necessarily be processing right now. So more reinforcement there. But if someone has submitted in April before the transition started, it looks like as the transition is finished, they're seeing that reflected in their payment account, whether it gets them to 120 or if they still have more time to go. If you've submitted in May, don't fret, as we're saying, you just wait a little bit longer. There's going to be a backlog. I wouldn't necessarily try to keep submitting and, you know, drive it in, because sometimes we've found that duplications can cause a little bit of chaos, as anything that is usually processed by a human being. But we are seeing slow progress here in a positive way.
And just to clarify, because I got this question a lot from folks about May and June. It's not that May and June do not count for PSLF. It's just that you were not able to submit those months for PSLF. So you can go ahead and do that now. It'll still count as long as you're meeting other program requirements. And speaking of months counting or not counting, we have a lot of folks right now in administrative forbearance. A big part of that is due to folks who are getting on the SAVE plan. We're not going to talk too much about SAVE in this pod, but that is a big reason that we're seeing these administrative forbearances. So Sam, why don't you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so administrative forbearance is a server-initiated forbearance. It's not something a borrower requests. It's something we really have seen a lot more since payments have restarted last fall. And I generally feel like the servicer does this as a, like, we got problems, let's just put everything on pause until we figure it out kind of thing. And so most recently, there's a lot of transitionings happening, as we noted. And so we were seeing effectively borrowers being put into admin forbearance because there's just a lot of moving pieces, especially if you're changing servicers or especially as you're changing, potentially changing payments or plans. And so previously, part of the problems with this program years ago was that forbearances generally, you know, is very black and white, does not count for PSLF forgiveness. That's not necessarily the case anymore. Like, you know, administrative forbearance has been declared kind of by the Department of Education, and you can see it in parts of the student aid resources that it does count for PSLF, right? Meaning that if you're still working for full-time for a qualifying employer, you have the right type of federal direct loans, and you just happen to be in administrative forbearance and not, you know, have a payment due, that month still should count for PSLF. But I want to make that clear is because it's a server initiated forbearance, right? If you call up and be like, hey, this payment's hard, put me in forbearance, those are going to be more questionable, right? Those were hardship forbearances still. When I'm talking purely about administrative forbearance, it's almost like a sense of processing forbearance.
Right. And because the IDR waiver expired at the end of last month, it's very likely, just assume that any forbearance that you request, right, will not count for PSLF, just to play it safe. I'd be very surprised if it does count.
And there might be like some certain like obscure forbearances out there that could count like due to PSLF. But just know generally, if you're calling up your servicer, telling them to put you in a forbearance, that's not going to count, and just kind of operate under that rule for safety.
Now, one time that I do tell people to request a forbearance is if you're pretty sure you've hit the 120 already and you're just kind of waiting from the process your forgiveness and you feel like I don't really want to keep making payments anymore. That could be a time strategically that you request forbearance just to like wait for everything to finish processing. I do have folks though who are very nervous about that and they're like, maybe I want that last month or two to count. Well, that's fine. As long as you've made more than 120 payments on the direct loan, you'll get those payments refunded, anything in excess of 120. So those are your options. You can request a forbearance and wait, or you can make extra payments and get those refunded. I don't know how long it'll take to get your refund. It will probably take months because, again, more processing. So you kind of two wonderful options, right?
Yeah. And who knows? I'm really curious now to see with this transition to PS with student aid, like how things may be more efficient. But that has always been part of the PSLF process. When you've reached the magic 120 number, there's always been a little bit of a delay just from like when the actual last form is processed to when the actual forgiveness goes bye-bye. There's always a couple months of good ways to estimate it. And so, you know, you shouldn't have to as a borrower kind of still make those payments, but you're welcome to. I realize there's a lot of trust issues here in the student loan world that are very valid, but you might also be unsure. So a best practice has always been to make sure you keep your employer certification forms up to date, at least annually. I've known some borrowers to do every 6 months, you know, props to you. But the reason why this is important, because it keeps your payment counts up to date, especially if you're one to change employers. And so, and when you do get to that 120 number, you can more confidently say like, yeah, this is my month, this is my year, this is my time. And so you might have that more confidence to put yourself in administrative forbearance. But I want to touch on something real quick because they're like, hey, I've reached it. Now what do I do? So I was saying it's a best practice every year to submit the ECF form, but you definitely need to submit it one last time when you've reached that 120 number to get it. They're never going to give you the benefit of the doubt that you're still working for your current employer. So you got to tell them up until the last month. But there's not necessarily something special you have to do to get the forgiveness other than submitting that form. There is a part of that process on the form where you can ask, if it's on the online pathway, if it picks you up as this is your 120, it'll even say like, hey, do you want to put yourself in that forbearance in a sense, right? So what, do you recall the exact words it says on the PSLF?
It says there's a checkbox on the actual form and it just says something like I have reached the 120 and I request a forbearance or something.
For some people as more things that move to online, it might pick someone up as like ineligible or for whatever reason doesn't think they're at the 120. Kind of like I think the theme don't fret. That shouldn't stop you from submitting the last thing, but then you might have to initiate your own forbearance if you think you're at 120, if you're not wanting to make any payments and wait out forgiveness. But there is that risk for whatever reason that maybe you're one count off, right? Life happens. You can potentially put yourself in a forbearance prematurely. So making sure you have that confidence. And like Sim said, if you ever do make a payment over 120, that would be refunded accordingly.
Yeah. And just to clarify too, when you hit the 120, because I get this question a lot from folks, great, I hit the 120. Can I go work somewhere else now? You do need to be employed. This is the rule, right? You do need to be employed at a qualifying employer while you're waiting for the PSLF forgiveness to go through is what has been the case. You know, will they know if you leave? I don't know. They could audit you, right? You do put the name and information of the authorized individual so they can call. I wouldn't chance it. You took 10 years to get to this point, maybe longer, right? If you took any gaps in your employment, it took you a long time to get there, just finish it out and then go do what you want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the team has like extensively looked into this and read every word there is possible to know about this law. And it's really just hard to interpret, right? So I think that's said, like I always say, the best case is stay as long as you can, wait for the forgiveness. Definitely, you have to be employed when you submit. Then when they're actually reviewing the form, got to be employed. And then even when the form goes into yes, processed, as I said, there's a lag between your payment accounts are up to date, 120, and then there's this forgiveness lag where maybe it comes a month, 2 months later. That is the part I think is the biggest gray area, right? Where a lot of people want to leave or like, yeah, I reached the 120. You told me I reached the 120. Now I want to leave, even though you haven't fraud some forgiveness. So I would say if you have it in your control, just wait it out a little bit longer. But yes, we've had people successfully leave after it's been officially processed. There's still an outstanding loan balance. But then we've also had some nightmare stories, right? Like with every many positive cases. So if you're very risk averse, you've worked so hard to get where you are, you might be ready to move on to bigger, better, maybe a less toxic environment. See what you can do.
Give yourself a 6 month buffer and just do a lot of self-care if you can.
Yeah. Look into other options to kind of other outlets. See if you can just reduce time at that point too.
Yeah.
Maybe put your time in a way that if you, worst case, if you did have to come back, you still had a foot in the door.
Exactly. I want to go back real quick to the comment you made, Sam, about doing the employment certification form every year. Something that can happen, I think about small nonprofits, like you worked for a little rinky-dink nonprofit and you left and decided to do something else, and that nonprofit doesn't exist anymore, right? So maybe you're working for an employer that just like shut down and you never got your form signed. Now, what do you do? So there is a method to get that time to count. On the form itself, there's a box you can check that either your employer refused to sign, if they're a jerk for some reason, or if they don't exist anymore. But then you enter this other convoluted process of having to prove the time you were there. You may need to submit like old W-2s, tax returns, etc., and then show like, yeah, this was a nonprofit. So better to get the credit as you go so you don't have to go back and have to retrace everywhere that you worked.
Yeah, it's to be fair, like there is a path forward. Please don't discount yourself, but it is going to require a little bit of legwork because you're going to have to do a little bit of research, finding your old forms. You typically can find old W-2s, tax forms, whether it's logging into your IRS account, but also sometimes even I think Social Security Administration website will have some tracking of earnings and stuff like that, but definitely start with the IRS website.
So Sam, $1 million question, is PSLF going away?
Great question. And I would, you know, I don't want to necessarily on air say anything 100% certainly, but in this point in time, no, it is here to stay. This transition is because it wants to make the program better. I think since the implementation in 2007, and because I think it was so bad, and also just because there is a lot of that feeling of constant threat in the student loan world, PSLF is the first one or any type of like forgiveness is at question. But at this point, no, because I'm going to talk about it from like the political optics in the sense of it, which I think is really what influences sometimes the student loan world in a sense. But at the same time, there is also kind of like rules that they have to abide by. But think about the types of people that go for PSLF. You have your physicians, you have your nurses, you have your teachers, you have even official government workers. So a lot of people who every day are out there serving the community. Can you imagine them coming out and be like, we're no longer going to offer tax-free forgiveness to your six-figure loan balances? All these regular day people who are kind of like the backbone of our society. That is political suicide in a sense. But at the same time, Sim, I know you have a lot of feelings about breach of contract.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm going to totally disagree with you on the political point. First of all, I agree with you overall. I don't think PSLF is going anywhere. No. But when it comes to political optics, like I don't think that student loans are a big enough issue on the politicians' radar. And it doesn't feel that way this year because this is an election year. But I think in general, student loans are actually a very small fry issue. And I think that anything that suits them politically could be, you know, an issue, right? So I'm not so sure that just because the backbone of America is well served by this, I shouldn't say well served, but because they're served by this program that they wouldn't get rid of it. I think the reason that they can't get rid of it is because of their contractual obligation, right? When you borrow a student loan, you sign your master promissory note. The language of PSLF is in that master promissory note. So if they tried to get rid of PSLF or anyone who's signed that to date, they would be in huge breach of contract. It would be just massive lawsuits. And I think that these borrowers would win. So I think contractually it's safe. The only thing I think is not necessarily safe, but again, it's not on the chopping block. So I'm not fear mongering, but the taxability of PSLF is not in the promissory note. So 10 years forgiveness, yeah. Can they tax it? Again, no one's talking about it. I'm not afraid of it, but for those reasons, right? For the contractual obligation reasons, I don't think it's going anywhere. I think the worst they could try to do is block it for future borrowers. And then I think that's where it could become more of a political issue, get more people to come out and vote. Yeah. I always encourage the clients I meet with to advocate for yourself, right? Contact your local congressperson. Because I am of the belief that this isn't enough on their radar and things change when you advocate for yourself. You know, I think about, I like to kind of like in France, how they advocate, like they just like literally set fire to the street. And I'm like, we don't do that. I'm not saying to do any acts of violence. I'm saying pick up the phone, write a letter.
Every time I feel like I'm on this podcast, it was acts of violence. But anyway, but no, I agree. Like I realize my view is very subjective here, but I also, where the student loan world is right now and where it has been going politically, I think going after PSLF is like a hill that not either party necessarily wants to die on right now. And like Sim said, I don't think it's going to ever go away overnight. Worst case, there would be a grandfathered period. And I even don't even see PSLF ever going away in a sense of maybe it becomes revamped in some way, or maybe they have different requirements. If they're not going to fix the front end of the problem with education and the cost of education, they got to do something on the other end, right? And so I think like other types of forgiveness are out there are more problematically maybe in danger than PSLF. But, you know, that's my view. But Sim's 100% on the breach of contract. They have to do something. So if you're in the program already or about to start the program, please don't worry.
Yeah, I wouldn't sweat it at all. As long as you're meeting the requirements, you're good.
Please focus on what you can control, right? Advocating for yourself, because it's a fight, all right? We get it. Don't spend your mental energy on calling the servicer to make sure they're doing stuff right for you.
Sam, what else can we tell the people today?
There are people and borrowers who have, before the transition where they moved Mohela over to student aid with the payment counts, they have a record so they can go back and audit and, you know, reconcile. And if you've ever submitted for the program, you know, Mohela has delivered, whether it's through email or the form, kind of like, hey, this is where you are. If you have a record of that down the line, you can reconcile with what the payment counts are on student aid to see if they're correct. But don't worry if you log in today after this podcast and don't see anything updated, as everything related to PSLF payment tracker, it can sometimes take time to update. So patience, a little bit of time, but definitely start taking a look, right? And being aware that everything moves over to student aid. And if you have not submitted your employer certification form since October 2022, please go ahead and submit again.
Expeditiously, if not sooner.
Yes.
If you are not sure if you're on the right track for PSLF, if you're not sure what to do with your student loans, check out studentloanplanner.com. You can get a customized student loan plan with one of our consultants. We also have a newsletter that is for free that you can subscribe to. And of course, our lovely podcast. That's all I have for you today. Good luck, everyone.